Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 18. I'm going to begin in verse 15. And the title of the message is Peter, a Sinner Saved by Grace. I'm talking about the Apostle Peter, whose name was originally Simon, but the Lord gave him that name, Peter. Now, we'll look at that passage in just a minute in Matthew 16. But Peter is one of the most interesting characters in the Bible. And in this passage here, one of the main issues is that in the historical life of the Lord Jesus Christ is this is where he was taken before the high priest, a man named Caiaphas. We read about Caiaphas last week when Caiaphas made that statement when he said that it was expedient that, in verse 14 of John 18, that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. It's necessary that one man should die for the people. And Caiaphas spoke prophetically there without even knowing it. That's the amazing thing about our God. God works all things after the counsel of his own will. And especially when you consider passages of Scripture like Romans 8:28, that all things work together. Those all things that God is working together, those things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to his purpose. And of course, that's talking about believers. That's not talking about everybody without exception. People who are born in sin and live their lives in sin and unbelief and die in unbelief, they die in their sins, and that's not good. But for God's children, sinners saved by grace, like Peter, like me, like you who are saved, if you're truly saved now, I'm not just looking out there and blanketly telling people they're saved, because we make a judgment about that when we hear what people believe. What do you believe? Do you believe the gospel? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Believeth what? The gospel. And the gospel is the revelation of the righteousness of God, which is the entire merit of the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer and preserver of his people. And that preservation is so important. Not only that we're initially saved by God's grace and power, but we're kept by God's grace and power. And there's a lot of people who claim to be Christian who don't believe that. They believe you can be saved and then you can be lost again. But that's not what the Bible teaches. That's not what the gospel teaches. Christ is the preserver of his people. And he's the Savior and the preserver. And we're going to see that especially in the life of Peter. But here in this passage, this is the passage that records where Peter denied Christ three times. And it's very interesting. And it's not set there so that we can gang up on Peter and say, oh, that bad person, you know, and if I'd have been there, I would have done better. No, sir. If we'd have been there, we'd have done worse. And so we have to understand it. You know, God's Word, the Bible, does not hold back in recording the sinfulness, the sins, the weaknesses, the flaws in God's saints. It doesn't present sinners saved by grace, the people of God, doesn't present them as some kind of super saint who stands high above everybody and has no problems and no flaws. And that's the very point of this, is to show that God saves us by His grace, not conditioned on ourselves, but conditioned on Christ, who met those conditions. God keeps us by His grace, and God will bring us to glory in heaven by His grace. All of grace. Mark it down. At no time, now listen to me, at no time in a believer's life is any part of salvation conditioned on him. It's all conditioned on Christ. Now there are evidences of salvation, and there's the power of God who works in us to do and to will His good pleasure. And there are fruits of the Spirit. There's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits, plural, but the fruit, the singular fruit of the Spirit, which manifests itself in different ways. And then there's a struggle of within every believer to follow the Lord, to obey Him. There's a warfare of the flesh and the spirit. But our salvation and our final glory in heaven is not conditioned on our accomplishments, our efforts, our doing, because that's already secure in Christ. And that's the thing about grace. Grace secures God's people in salvation unto glory. Now, the problem that a lot of people have with that, they'll say things like, well, if I believe that, I would just sin as much as I want to. Well, you don't understand grace. You don't understand the gospel. You don't understand the Bible. You know, people who say things like that, who object to God's grace like that, what they're actually revealing about themselves is that they have no motive for obedience except the sinful, legal, self-righteous motives of salvation, of rewards based upon our efforts and punishments based upon our sins. That's a low motive. But see, when God saves a sinner, He replaces that low, sinful motive that causes us to bring forth fruit unto death with a holy motive, the motive of grace and gratitude and love. But now, let's go to the scripture here. This is where Peter's a very interesting character as far as the disciples. Some people say he was the leader of the disciples. He wasn't. Christ was the leader of the disciples. He's the leader of all His disciples. Some say that Peter was the spokesperson of the disciples because a lot of times when things were asked or said, Peter spoke up first. And that I don't think that means that Peter was the appointed spokesperson. It just could have meant that Peter was a loudmouth, you know. And he spoke often without thinking. He did that. But one of the best confessions, before we get into our text, look back at Matthew chapter 16, where Peter spoke up. And he was speaking for the disciples, basically all except Judas, but Judas did agree with it at that time, but Judas was a false disciple. But Christ asked the disciples here in Matthew 16, He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they answered Him, they said, "Well, some say that you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah." And then He asked them in verse 15, He saith unto them, this is Matthew 16:15. "But whom say ye that I am?" Who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered. Now he spoke up. And he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You're the God-man. You're the Messiah. You're the Savior. You're the one that was set up before the foundation of the world, to whom the people of God were given, the people whom God chose were given. The ones whom the Messiah, you, the Messiah, would come to save. The Son of the living God, God manifest in the flesh. And listen to what Christ said to Peter. And He said in verse 17, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah," that was Peter's original name, "for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And this is where the Lord gave him the name Peter, Petros, which means a little rock. And he says in verse 18, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock." Now, Peter, Petros, or Petros and Petra, they're two different words here. And Peter means a little rock. And then the rock here in verse 18 means a big rock, like a boulder, like a rock of Gibraltar. And he is not telling Peter here. Now, understand this. Get this in your mind. He's not telling Peter that he will build his church upon Peter. Listen to it. "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, a little rock, and upon this big rock." Now, what's the big rock? Christ is the big rock. He's the rock of the church. He's the rock of Gibraltar for the church. Bigger than that. And he said, "Upon this rock," and he's referring to what Peter confessed. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's the big rock upon which the church is built. Not upon Peter. The Catholic Church has taken these things and just mangled them to make man his own savior. Peter was not the first pope. They don't even know historically, factually, if Peter even went to Rome. Some say that he did, and he may have. I don't know. And they say that he was crucified upside down, all of that. But he was not. There's no pope in the church. Christ is the head of the church, not the pope. The pope is a false prophet. And so we need to understand it. But he said, "Upon this rock," verse 18, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So he's telling Peter and the disciples, he said, upon him, upon Christ, the rock, he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And verse 19 of Matthew 16, he says, "And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What that's talking about is not any power given to Peter or the other disciples to forgive sin. Only God can forgive sin. What he's talking about there is the preaching of the gospel, which shows sinners that sin can only be forgiven by God in Christ. And when we preach that, that's what binds things in heaven. And that's what loose things. You see, when a sinner believes what we preach in the gospel, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, with a message of power and goodness and mercy from heaven. This is heaven's message. And it binds and it looses, it sets free and it binds men up. And if you, just like Christ told the Pharisees, he said, if you believe not that I am, that Christ is the Messiah, like Peter confessed here, you'll die in your sins. And that's a binding. Well, look at verse 20 of Matthew 16. He says, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." What he's talking, he's not trying to hide this, but he had it planned out. The message would get out, and it would come to the time that we're looking at in John 18 when he would be arrested publicly. And it says in verse 21, now listen to this. "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day." And then Peter spoke up. Now this time Peter opened his mouth where he should have kept quiet. And he said in verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him." Peter began to rebuke the Lord, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And then verse 23, Christ turned to him. He turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter was speaking under the inspiration of Satan when he said that. No, you're not going to go to the cross. You're not going to die. Well, that's what he came to do. And we're going to see that in the next message, that the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world was to die for the sins of his people that had been charged to his account and satisfy the justice of God. And then later on, over in John chapter 13, he was talking to his disciples, many things to say to them. And he told them that he had to go alone to the cross. He was going where they could not come. And look at verse 36. This is John 13, verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Where I'm going, you can't follow me now. You see, Christ is the one and only Savior. He had to walk the winepress of God's wrath for his people alone, by one offering, alone. And it said, Peter said unto him, verse 37, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. That's what Peter said. And listen to what Christ told him in verse 38. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock, the rooster, shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Three times. Well, Christ predicted that Peter was going to deny. He knew Peter was going to deny him. It was ordained that Peter do so by God. You say God is the author of sin. No, he's not the author of sin. But all of this is in well within the planned will of God for the purpose of bringing Christ to the cross. So look at John chapter 18 and verse 15. We finally got there. It says, And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. Now that's the other disciple is John. So Peter and John went with Christ to the high priest. But it says in verse 16, Peter stood at the door without. He stood outside. And John went in with Christ. Then went out the other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spoke unto her that kept the door and brought in Peter. So John came back out, brought Peter in, and said, Then said the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? How did Peter respond? Aren't you one of Christ Jesus' disciples? Peter said, I am not. He denied him. And the servants, verse 18, an officer stood there who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Well, now look at verse 19. Now we come to where Jesus standing before Caiaphas, the high priest. And think about this. This is something that's amazing. The high priestly office was always set up to be a picture of Christ, the high priest of his people. And that's what the high priest was, to bring the offering, the offering of atonement, the blood of the lamb from off the brazen altar and into the holiest of all, and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, the Ark of the Covenant. And that was a picture of how God was reconciled and to sinners and sinners to God on the basis of the blood of Christ, on the ground of his righteousness imputed. And how does God bring a sinner to faith in Christ? By showing that sinner his sinfulness and deservedness of condemnation, and showing that sinner that the only way of salvation is to be found in Christ, having his blood shed for your sins, having his righteousness imputed to you. And here and so from that, that's where we get life and faith and repentance coming from there. But we're justified, forgiven of all sins, and declared righteous before God on the basis of the righteousness of Christ, who is our high priest, who is our altar, who is our substitute, our sacrificial lamb. And so here he is standing before the high priest. Verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. He asked him about his followers, about what he taught. In verse 20, Jesus answered him. He said, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews always resort or reside, and in secret have I said nothing. And so he asked Caiaphas, verse 21, why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I've said unto them. Behold, they know what I've said. And he's telling the high priest, I didn't speak in secret. This is no secret society. We didn't speak in code. You know, I've seen these books about the Bible code and all that. There's no code here. It's all plain right here. Now, because of our spiritually dead state, fallen in Adam into sin and death, we don't have eyes to see it and ears to hear. We have no desire for the things of the glory of God. It has to be revealed to us. But it's not because of a secret code or anything like that. Look at verse 22. He says, and when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand. Now some translations say with a stick, a rod. And it says, but he struck him and saying, answerest thou the high priest so? And Jesus answered him, if I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me? I've not said anything wrong. He didn't deserve to be hit like that. In verse 24, now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. And they said therefore unto him, art not thou one of his disciples? And here's the second time. And Peter denied it and said, I am not. And then verse 26, one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, that Malchus, whom remember Peter cut his ear off, this is one of his kinsmen, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? And Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Just like Christ said, the rooster crowed three times. Or Peter denied him three times, then the rooster crowed. Well, why I put this in the Bible? To show us that if we are saved, if we are preserved, kept, if we make it to heaven's glory, the new heavens and the new earth, it is all of grace. That's who Peter is. That's who I am. All of those who are saved, that's who they are. They are sinners saved by grace. And this is the thing. You see, this is why we make the distinction between the true gospel and false gospels. A false gospel. Now listen to me. There's two things that you need to look for when you're listening. There's more than two things, but let me just simplify it down to this. A false gospel will always make salvation in some way, at some stage, to some degree, conditioned on you. But the true gospel will always make all of salvation conditioned on Christ. And what we do in responding is the fruit, not the cause, but the result of the grace, the goodness, and the power of God in Christ. If I believe the gospel, it wasn't by my goodness or my free will. No, sir. Because by nature, I'm not willing. As I'm born into this world, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. Our wills are in bondage to sin. And until we're released by the Holy Spirit in giving us a new heart, spiritual life, a new heart, the new birth, new eyes, spiritual eyes and ears, we will not believe. Faith is a gift of God, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you're saved, you're not saved because you were better than other people and you made the right choice. If you're saved, you did make the right choice, but it's only because God chose you first. That's what the Bible teaches. It's all of grace. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, for making me whole. So false gospels always will make it come down to what the sinner does for God, not what God does for the sinner. And the second thing is that false gospels will always cause you to measure holiness and righteousness on a sliding scale. But the true gospel will force you to measure righteousness and holiness by Christ. God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17:31. You see, my righteousness before God is not my works. It's not my choice. I do choose righteousness in Christ. But my choosing does not make me righteous. That's what I mean by that. Christ, God, makes me righteous as He imputes, charges, accounts Christ's righteousness to me. And if He's done that, at some point in time, He's going to send the Spirit of God to bring me under the gospel and give me spiritual life and faith to believe and bring me to repentance. That's what it is. It's all of grace. And that's what Peter understood. Oh, don't you know that his heart was broken? Don't you know that he was ashamed when he denied Christ 3 times? But later on, you remember Christ said, you won't follow me now, but you'll follow me later. You see, God preserved him. Christ preserved him. One time Christ told Peter, he said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but he said, but I pray for you. And if he prays for you, you're good to go. He's the mediator. And you can read 1 and 2 Peter, for example, and see where Peter came to by the grace of God, a sinner saved by grace. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.